Turn, first of all, to Philippians chapter 3, the book of Philippians chapter 3. I want to read three verses here, and then we will go over to Genesis 28. Philippians chapter 3, and listen carefully, because what Paul says introduces this message. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul says, "It's not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that, or in hopes that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth, trying to grasp those things which are before, I press." Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press." Our Lord said this. He said, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." In other words, those who want the kingdom of heaven, go after it. Go after it. Lay hold of it. Paul said this several times. Lay hold of eternal life. You ever laid hold of someone or something? I've been laid hold of by my dad a couple of times, and I knew I'd been laid hold of. And, on the other hand, I have grasped someone or something, laid hold of it, not wanting to let go of it. That's what he said. Lay hold. Press. Paul said, "I press. I reach forth." This is our story today. Go back to Genesis 28 now. And this story separates true seekers from the merely curious. And in reality, this separates the sons of Jacob from the sons of Esau. Jacob have I loved. Esau, reprobate. Jacob. Old Jacob. All sons of Jacob are going to enjoy this story. Jacob, there's much written of him in Scripture. God calls himself the God of Jacob. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Scripture says this, Psalm 146, 5, Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. And we're going to see that. David said, "The God of Jacob is our refuge." The Scripture says he established a testimony in Jacob. He established something in Jacob. Jacob's the type of every believer. Jacob. Jacob's just an old sinner saved by grace. Jacob's a sinner whom God chose and called and sovereignly saved. The life of Jacob was full of trouble. Jacob was just a sorry fellow until the Lord saved him, and even then he did some sorry things. Jacob's such a type of us. Jacob cheated his brother. Now, what kind of fellow would cheat his brother? He did. He cheated his brother. He deceived his father. Jacob did. Now, this is not a teenager. He's not a teenager when he did that. Probably in his 20s at least. Jacob had to leave home. He left home because of his sorriness. He left home, and his brother hates him. His mother's worried about him. His dad's just hoping he'll turn out all right. That's old Jacob. And he left home with a prayer from his father. His father said, "May the Lord bless you, son." He knew he had to get out. He left home, and all he had was a stick in his hand, a staff. When he left the house, that's all he had. But God, rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved Jacob. He loved Jacob. Jacob's a fellow only God could love, or would love. Sorry. God chose Jacob long, long time before. "Jacob have I loved," he said. Nobody else did, except his mother. "Jacob have I loved." And God revealed himself to old Jacob. Look here in chapter 28. I need to turn there myself, don't I? Genesis 28. Chapter 28 is where God revealed himself to Jacob. And what he revealed was Christ. Christ revealed himself to Jacob. It says in verse 12 that Jacob was dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending, going back and forth from heaven to earth on this ladder. And verse 13, "Behold, the Lord stood above the ladder and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac." And God made a promise to Jacob, "The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth." Verse 15, "And he said," God said, "I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee of." God reveals his sovereign, all-powerful person to Jacob. God tells him everything that God's going to do for him and purpose concerning him. Doesn't ask Jacob anything, does he? He doesn't ask Jacob to make a decision, does he? He doesn't ask Jacob to accept him as his God. He just reveals himself, "I am your God." And he said, "I will do this, I will do that. I have done this, I have done that." This is salvation, you know? When God just reveals who he is and what he has done in Christ. That ladder, in case you don't know, that ladder is Christ. It says the angels of God descending from heaven, descending from heaven and ascending. That's Christ, the way to God. There's only one way for a sinner who's earthbound to reach God who's heavenward. And that's Christ, the way. The daysman betwixt us. The way, the God-man, to bring it. He came down, and he takes us up. He revealed Christ to him. Yeah, Jacob heard of Christ. Scripture says, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he predestinated, he called. So God did that. He loved Jacob. He determined everything concerning him, and he called him right here at Bethel. And he justified him. Jacob believed. Look at verse 16. Jacob waked out of his sleep. He was sleeping before. Yeah, and before that, he didn't even know God and really act like he didn't care. He was just a no-good, rebellious son. But God chose him, loved him, and revealed himself to him. Now Jacob knows who God is, and Jacob believes. And he says in verse 16, surely the Lord's in this place, and I did not know it. God is my God, and I didn't know it. God's purposed all things concerning me, and I didn't know it. God's been having mercy on me ever since the day I was born. I didn't know it. God is God, and I didn't know it. God's everywhere. In Him I live and move and have my being, and I didn't know it. I thought I got all this for myself. I thought I could just cheat and do all this and make a way for myself, but everything's of God, and I didn't know it. Well, he believes now who God is, and he's in his hands. Verse 20, Jacob vowed a vow. Now, this is not some silly vow of some vain promise that, you know, if you'll bless me, then I'll give. No. Jacob is so grateful that God has revealed himself to him and spoken to him. He believes. And he's all he's saying here is, since you have revealed yourself as my God, and if you are truly my God, let's read it. If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go and give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, that's all I ask for, food and raiment, I'll be content. So that I come again to my father's house in peace, God grant me peace, and the Lord, he's my God. Whoever can keep me is God indeed. You say that, huh? If you're like Jacob, if you're anything like Jacob, if you're a son of Jacob, God can keep me in line. If God can protect me all my days and bring me safely to heaven, he's God indeed. He's my God. Well, much happens to Jacob. Much happened to Jacob after this. Trials, tribulations, troubles, ups and downs. Man, so many things happened to Jacob in the life of Jacob. Oh, my. All according to God's purpose, every bit of it. Jacob was a man. He was just a man. A sinner. A fallible, finite, failing man. Sinner. And he failed miserably. Jacob failed miserably. And he paid for his mistakes. He paid for his mistakes. And we will. We will. We mess up and we'll pay for those mistakes. Yes, we will. Not necessarily punishment from God, but lessons learned. But it all's going to work. It's all going to work God's purpose. You can count on that. Count on that. Jacob failed miserably. And he paid for those mistakes, but I tell you what, it's going to be all right concerning Jacob. Boy, he got in a mess on every hand. Look at chapter 32 now. Chapter 32. And the reason it's going to be all right, why is Jacob going to be all right? Why is everything going to turn out okay by Jacob? Huh? Why? Because Jacob's better than anybody? Oh, no. The only reason Jacob is going to turn out all right for Jacob, it's because God's his God. Because God promised. Because God said, I love this boy and I purposed everything concerning him. And I'm going to keep him and nothing and nobody's going to hurt him. And he's going to work out my purpose. That's the only reason it's going to turn out for Jacob. If Jacob's left to himself, he's going to kill himself. Or somebody else will kill him first. His brother, Esau. Why is it going to be all right for Jacob? Because God's his God. The God of Jacob. Oh, happy is he to have the God of Jacob for his help. The purposing, sovereign God who works all things in spite of. Twenty-five or thirty years. Now, Jacob's probably 50, in his 50s by now. Surely Jacob has learned some lessons. The Lord revealed himself 20, 25 years ago. He's been walking with the Lord. Surely he's made some progress and learned some lessons, and surely he won't foul up again. Oh, happy is he to have the God of Jacob for his help. Jacob messed up again. He failed miserably. Why? Because he's a man. He's a sinner. He messes up bad again. He left home before with everybody mad at him. Now he's living with his father-in-law, and he gets his father-in-law absolutely irate against him. His father-in-law is just so mad at him, he can chew nails. Because he tricked his father-in-law. And he's forced to leave again. Jacob has to leave there. Now he's got a big family, though. He's got two wives and a bunch of kids, 11. And he's forced to leave again. And on top of that, somebody comes to him and says, we'll look at verse 6. Messengers return to Jacob. Jacob's heading out, leaving. And they said, we came to your brother Esau, and he's coming to meet you. He's got 400 men. He's after you. Jake, your brother Esau has finally caught up with you, and he's got 400 men with him. Oh, Jacob. Now he's on the run. He's afraid. He's distressed. He's in trouble. He doesn't know where he's going. What's he going to do? What's an old sinner going to do like that? Huh? Where is he going to turn? Everybody's after him. Where's he going to turn? Who's he going to turn to for help? Oh, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. He calls on his God, the God of Jacob. He hadn't changed much. Yeah, he had. He changed, but you wouldn't know it sometimes. But God hadn't changed. God hadn't changed. He didn't change his purpose. His word hadn't changed. God didn't change his mind concerning Jacob. God didn't say, if you'll straighten up and fly right, I'll be your God, did he? He just said, I'll be your God. I am. He didn't say, I will be. He said, I am. Who's Jacob going to turn to? The God of Jacob. I love this prayer. This is one of the most... This is one of the greatest prayers in Scripture. Look at it with me. Verse 9. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff, with a stick in my hand, I passed over this Jordan, and now I got a full house. I was Jacob when I left, with a stick in my hand, and I'm still Jacob. Now look at all this. The margin says, my margin reference says, I'm less than all. I'm less than the least. I'm not worthy of the least of your mercy. I don't deserve anything from you. Anything. Look at all that. I left home with a stick in my hand. Even when I was 17 years old, I left home. I had a backpack on my back. My parents didn't know where I was going. I didn't either. Now look at me. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. This is my story. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Jacob said, I'm not worthy. You know, happy and blessed is the man or the woman who realizes they're an old Jacob. Because who's been forgiven much, they'll love much. Who's been given much and realizes they don't deserve anything will be mighty grateful and never take it for granted. Or at least not too much. I left home with a stick in my hand, Jacob said. Now look at this. And he said, deliver me. Verse 11. Deliver me. What do you need, Jacob? Same thing I needed when I started. Everybody's after me. Because I deserve it. I get what I deserve if you left me alone. Oh, deliver me. Help me. I pray thee from the hand of my brother Esau. I fear him lest he'll come and smite me. Verse 12, and I said, but you said, Jacob pleads God's word, God's promise. You said, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered among them. You said, you're the Lord that changes not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's what you said. You said, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You said, he that cometh, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, by no means, under no circumstances will I cast you out. That's what you said. That's my only hope. Is it you, Jacob? Jacob Davis, Jacob Sword, Jacob Sheesley? Is that your only hope after all these years? Just an old sorry son of Jacob that, God, I hadn't improved much. In fact, I can't tell I've improved any at all. You're the only one that knows. Oh, I need the same thing I needed in the beginning. I need your help. I need you to save me. I need you to keep me. I need you to have mercy on me. All right, Lord. God of Jacob. Now, Jacob, look at verses 22 and 23. He rose up that night, took his two wives, his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. He took his two wives and servants and 11 sons and sent them over the brook ahead of him. He's got that much. He's at least that courageous, you know. He's going to let them go, and he's going to face his brother himself, get what's coming to him. But he doesn't want them in harm's way. He's got that much character, doesn't he? He sends them over. Well, he had two wives. Now, Jacob left home, and he had two wives, two servants. He had children while he was there and on the way. Benjamin was born on the way. But 11 sons, and he's on foot. Now get this. He's on foot. He's on the run. He's got a huge family to care for. Is he going to make it? Is God going to provide for him? Is everything going to be all right? Boy, it looks, this guy, he and his family are totally at the mercy of God. Yeah, they are. They're totally dependent on God here. Yes, they are. And why is it going to be all right? Like I said, because Jacob's God said he was his God. And because Jacob's God promised he would. And let me remind you of something here. All right? This is Jacob. And Deborah, he's got 11 boys with him. Who are these boys? Who are these boys? Well, it's Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Joseph. It's got to be all right. God's purpose is all wrapped up in these. Nothing to know. God's purpose is in all this. God's word's at stake. God's power's at stake. God's veracity's at stake. Is at stake. Is it going to be all right? You better believe it. Nothing's going to alter this. Nothing's going to get in the way of it. Because God has said, God has purposed, God has willed. Oh, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his head. He said, I purposed all things concerning you that are ordered and sure. The world may scoff at and not like God's predestinating purpose. That's my only hope. How about you? It is every son of Jacob. Your only hope is that if that turns out all right, it'll be because God purposed it. Well, there's a confrontation. Old Jacob has a confrontation. If you're taking notes, the confrontation, and then a confession, and then a blessing. A confrontation. That night, he sends his family out. And it says in verse 24 of chapter 32, you have it? That night, Jacob was left alone. Folks, salvation is between God and the sinner. Salvation is between God and the sinner. Between the Savior and the sinner. No soul winner is going to get in the way. Nobody's going to win you to the Lord. Forget that. Somebody may preach the word. But when it comes down to it, it's going to be between God and the man or the woman or the young person. And it's going to be a wrestling match. Salvation is not an easy thing. Listen to me. Salvation is not a passive thing. Listen to me. Though we're passive in it, when it's happening, you're not passive. He said, you'll find me how? If I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be saved. No, sir. When you seek me with all your heart, he said. God calls on people. Yes, he does. God calls. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he predestinated, he called. God calls first. Well, if I'm going to be called, I'm going to be called. Who? No, sir. All those that call on him. Salvation is a confrontation with God. It's a wrestling match. Salvation and the rest of the life of a believer. Listen to me. After the match, it's not over. After the initial wrestling with God, it's not over. Jacob's 55 years old here. Jacob's 60 years old here. He's known God for 30 years. But there's a wrestling match. He needs help now more than ever. He's saved us, made a decision years ago. No, sir. Salvation is a confrontation with God. And the whole life of a believer from then forward is a confrontation, a wrestling, a grappling.
laid hold of and being laid hold of. You remember what Paul said? I apprehend that for which I'm apprehended. Said I'm not apprehended yet, so I forget the... Reach forth. Well, look at this. I like this. It says, verse 24, and there wrestled a man with him. There wrestled a man. A man? A man was... Jacob, in the middle of the night, some man grabs him and starts wrestling with him. Yeah, a real man was wrestling. This wasn't a dream. This was happening. A real man, flesh and blood, was grabbed him. Jacob was asleep. Jacob just lying there on the ground, and all of a sudden a man... Jacob said, verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face. I've wrestled with God. Now, wait a minute. The Lord Jesus Christ said, no man has seen God at any time. Didn't it? No man has seen God at any time. He said, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared it. God was manifest in the flesh. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. How? The body. This is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down for this old sinner named Jacob and grabbed a hold of him. Same one who revealed himself 30 years prior to that, I'm your God, and revealed his purpose 30 years later, old Jacob's still Jacob. And he needs shook. The Lord himself lays hold of him. You see that? The man wrestled with him. If God did not lay hold on us, we would not lay hold on him. If God did not first call us, we would not call on him. If God did not wrestle with us, we would not wrestle with him. By the grace of God, we're saved. By the grace of God, we're kept. By the grace of God we call, by the grace of God we seek. But the man, nevertheless, a man wrestled with him. A man. The Lord Jesus Christ. And every sinner, people, every sinner, every single sinner whom God has chosen and loved and purposes to save is going to be wrestled with. Going to be apprehended by Jesus Christ himself personally. There's going to be a confrontation between Christ and the sinner. Every single one. That's right. Oh, it's not some emotional thing because you sing so many verses of just as I am, or because somebody dies, or because you get sick, or because you get in trouble. That's not it at all. It's going to be a confrontation with the person, the claims, the rights, the word, the authority, the salvation of Jesus Christ. That gospel. It comes in the form of the gospel being preached, in which it absolutely laid hold of you and shakes you and says, look at you. That's what the gospel does. It ain't some silly, namby-pamby, emotional thing. But God says, I'm your God. You ain't nothing but Jacob. Listen to me. You're going to die, you're going to kill yourself, and everybody else is going to kill you if you don't listen to me. Wake up, Jacob! This was no... Jacob, get up, honey. I'm sorry to bother you. Sorry to violate your free will. I know you're sleeping. I know you're comfortable. Don't let... I'll come back later. Get up! Huh? Come here! You ever wrestled? Justin back there is a wrestler. He'll tell you. Wrestling's the toughest thing you've ever done in your life. It is. It's the hardest thing I've ever... I used to do it in high school. Oh! Tell me, Justin, is it not so? After a hard, long wrestling match, even your hair hurts. He knows what I'm talking about. I mean, every part of your being has been affected. You're hurt all over. Inside and out. You got, the next day or two, you got bruises you didn't know you had. You got muscles you didn't there. You didn't know were there that you used. It's tough. It's hard. Jacob was not passive in this thing. Listen, somebody's wrestling with you. If there's a wrestling match, it takes two. Right? In your wrestling, Justin, have you ever had a match where you faced yourself? Just Justin. Now today we've got Justin Tendry wrestling. Who? Nobody. That's ridiculous. It takes two. He's wrestling. Jacob's not sleeping. He's wrestling. He's not sleeping anymore. He's wrestling. Jacob's not passive. He's wrestling. He's not presumptuous. Well, God's going to save me. He's going to save me. And I'm one of the elect. He's wrestling. He's an old man. And he's wrestling. Wake up, Jacob. Verse 25 says, the man, when he saw that he prevailed not against Jacob. What do you mean, prevailed not against Jacob? This is the Lord. This is God wrestling with the man. What do you mean didn't couldn't prevail? Couldn't win? Oh, no. He's testing Jacob. You'll see in just a second. You just touch him one time, put him all out of joint. He's testing Jacob. And Jacob's proven himself. He's serious. He's wrestling. He's wrestling. He's serious, isn't he? Don't bless a man that's serious. Jacob wasn't playing. Verse 25. He prevailed not against him, so he touched the hollow of his thigh, the inside of his leg, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Like I said, when wrestling is the toughest thing I know. And at some point, somebody's going to give. Something's going to give. Something's going to break. Something's going to get out of joint. Somebody's going to win. And somebody's going to cry, Uncle. Oh, I used to admire two older brothers. I'm glad I did. They were a blessing. I know that now. And then, all I was their punching bag. Their little brother that they could even my sister, you know, until I got old enough to I could handle her. But my brothers, they hung me one time. They tied me tied my feet together. And strung me up from a tree. Seriously, threw that rope over a tree branch and left. Boys are about the meanest thing, aren't they? Left me. My brother, one of them, just for sport, used to just put my head through the wall. Oh, my. Somebody's going to win. So I've just found myself quite a bit saying, Uncle, please, Dad. But somebody's going to give. Somebody's going to break. When God Almighty truly wrestles with a sinner, something's going to break. And I'll tell you what it is. The heart. It's the will. That old self-will, that old proud spirit's pride. Something's going to break. You're going to get all out of joint. You were whole. You were all right. You thought you were something. You're tough. You know, like somebody and everything. When this wrestling match is over, you're plumb out of joint. Everything's out of joint. Ain't nothing like it was. You're not like you were. It says in verse 31,
Jacob left there and he halted on his thigh. He has a permanent reminder of this wrestling match. He's not the same anymore. He's still Jacob. And he still gets in more trouble. But he's been wrestled with. He's still Jacob, but he's not Jacob. He's different. It's a paradox. He's still Jacob, but no, he's Israel. He's still a sinner, but no, he's a saint. He's still a rebel, but no, he's a child of God. He put his thigh out of joint, and Jacob walked with a limp from that day forward, and every son of Jacob whom God has wrestled with, that heart, that old proud heart is broken. The walk has changed. The talk has changed. They've been conquered by Christ. They're not so proud anymore. Not so boastful. Let's do a lot of talking about God's grace. Not about themselves. But here's a confession. Verse 27, it says, the angel said, verse 26, the angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except you bless me. That's what Paul's saying over there. I haven't apprehended yet. I'm not there yet. Jacob wasn't home yet. Jacob wasn't where he was. Hadn't returned yet. He hadn't made it yet. He's got troubles now, and he's going to have more trouble. And he said, I won't let you go. I won't quit holding on. I'm not going to quit. Except you bless me. Such is salvation. Our salvation is because God's not going to let go of us. You know that? That's our hope. It's that God said, no man plucks you out of my hand. That's all my hope. But you know what? That's preservation of the saints. He preserves them all. But they persevere. They're not going to let go either. They're not going to presume. They're going to wrestle. Yes, they are. By God's grace, they're going to say, I'm not going to quit. I don't deserve the least of your mercies. I don't deserve to be a part of this. I may be presumptuous in thinking that you're going to put up with me from here on. But by your grace, I'm not going to quit. I'm not leaving. You have to run me off. Like that dog in my neighborhood. My neighbor's dog. They kept coming up there. I kept running her off. Don't want you. She kept coming back. Don't need you. I got two dogs. We'll need another one. Another mouth to feed. She kept coming back. I know what was happening. My other two dogs were talking to her. They were saying, look at us. We're dogs. That's what they were saying, Potty. Look at us. We're black dogs. We're both black dogs. You're a pretty dog. He doesn't need us. We've never done a thing for him. He's fed us and watered us and put up with us and stoned us and made us. I tell you what, you keep coming, guarantee you, he'll take you. I know they did. I know they did. They told him, you know what? You know what? You know where that dog is? Mama with my dog. And my neighbor doesn't care, Roberta. Been feeding their dog for years. But I treat her like my dog now. She just kept coming. Presumptuous? Well, maybe. Got a merciful neighbor. Got a merciful man up there who takes dogs. He'll take dogs. Keep coming. Keep coming. He said, verse 27, what's your name? You see, God does the demanding, doesn't he, Brother Stephen? It's God that does the asking. What is your name? And he said, Jacob. My name's Jacob. Back when Esau was after him, Esau said, his name's Jacob and he's named right. Said that to his mom and dad. He's Jacob. Jacob means the supplanter. Jacob means he wants everything for himself. Jacob means he'll run over anybody to get his way. That's what Jacob means, supplanter. And Esau said, he's named right. His name's Jacob. And I hate him. And the angel said, what's your name? Jacob. a confession. After this confrontation, what's your name? Nobody. Nothing. No good. Sinner. Jacob. Ah, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. He said, I am the God of Jacob. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not concerned. Everybody will admit, everyone that will admit they're Jacob is going to get a blessing. Look at him. It says, thy name, verse 28, shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, prince with God. Because, he says, as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Power with God. We saw that, didn't we? Who has power? What this means, this, and our Lord, this is quoted in John 1, verses 12 and 13. As many as received him, to them gave he power. That means the rights, the authority, the privileges, all the blessings, all that goes with being a son of God. Power with God. My daughter has power with me, but other children don't have power. You understand? It doesn't mean she could change my will or force me to do anything, that she has the upper hand over me or can make demands of me. No, it means she has every right, every privilege, all that comes with being my daughter. She can ask anything of me. And if I see fit, I'll give it to her. And I'll never cast her out. That's the right she has as my daughter. That's the privilege. You understand? Now, Jacob, your name is Israel. Prince, no longer a supplanter, but Prince of God. Prince, a prince. Now, let me ask you. The Lord blessed him. It's obvious that was Christ. He said, your name's no more Jacob, but Israel. And let me ask you, what do you reckon Jacob called himself from here on? He's a prince. Prince with God. Do you reckon that he went out calling himself Israel? Oh, no. He never could get used to that. You know what? He never could get used to that. Boy, he didn't feel worthy to be called prince. To him, he's just still old Jacob. To the day he dies. He didn't go around saying, I want you to know I'm a born-again prince. He didn't go around telling everybody that. I'll have you know that I'm Israel. Oh, no. Jacob. What's your name? Barbara, whenever somebody asked him his name, what did he say? Jacob. What's your name? Sinner. Yeah, but you're something, Marshall. Nothing. I wasn't anything when he found me. Wasn't anything when he saved me. I'm not anything now. Not have I gotten with what I received. Grace hath bestowed it, and now I believe. Most things excluded. Pride I obey. I'm only a sinner. Saved by grace. You can call yourself a saint. God does. But we don't. I've talked to many of you, and every one of you feel less than the least of all the saints, don't you? Good. You should. Every one of you feel like, I'm not worthy. Good. Because you're not. Every one of you feel like, I'm a no good saint. Good. Because that's what you are. But God. The God of Jacob. You got to be a Jacob. You got to be a Jacob to have the God of Jacob. But happy is he to have the God of Jacob for his help. Well, he called the name of the place. He asked the angel his name, but he wouldn't tell him. In verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. I've seen God face to face. And it says he walked out of there halting on his thigh. Brother Kelly, he was limping, but he was smiling. He's hurting, but But Deborah, he had peace that he didn't have when he before that. You know, he's still got troubles. Esau's still coming. But God spoke to him. God promised him. God reassured him. God wrestled with him. And the beautiful part of this story, it says that, is it going to turn out right? Is it going to turn out right? I ask that. Esau's coming after him. 400 men. It's all over now. Yeah, Esau came running up, and what Esau did was came running up and grabbed him around the neck, not to choke him, but to kiss him. Oh, my brother, he said, I love goodness to you. Jacob said, I was worried. Oh, and happy is he. God turned Esau's heart. He turned Esau's purpose. Esau may have been going after him, but he ended up helping him. Happy is he that helped the God of Jacob. All right, let's sing in closing. Number 11. Hymn number 11 in the green book. Number 11. When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. Hymn number 11. Let's stand as we sing. When all thy mercies. I'm sorry. Let's try again.